next film is about Luigi Mangione and the shooting of the UnitedHealthcare CEO. I'm Amy Goodman. Happy birthday, Jeff Stout.
Abstinence means not having sex, right? But what is sex? An intercourse? And what the heck is outer course? Well, people define sex, abstinence, and outer course in different ways. For some people, abstinence means not doing any kind of fooling around. No oral sex, vaginal sex, anal sex, nothing. They're abstaining from it all. Not only does this type of abstinence do a great job of preventing pregnancy, it's 100% effective, it also guarantees you won't get a sexually transmitted infection. For some other people, abstinence means not having vaginal intercourse. They do the other stuff, just not the thing that can lead to a pregnancy. All that other stuff is what we mean by outer course. Outer course is sex play without the penetration. It's like intercourse without the inner... you get it. Kissing, touching, grinding, massage, masturbation, sex talk, all of that can be lumped into what's called outer course. Outer course is also a great method of birth control. As long as no sperm get in the vagina, there's no risk of pregnancy. And if you avoid vaginal, anal, and oral sex, you reduce your risk for sexually transmitted infections as well. Like all methods of birth control, abstinence and outer course are more effective the longer and better you use them. They require determination, self-control, trust, and good communication. It also helps to know about other ways to protect yourself from unintended pregnancy and STDs, just in case you decide to have intercourse. If you'd like to learn more about outer course and abstinence, you should check out PlannedParenthood.org. If you're a teen, you might want to look into Teen Talk. There's tons of information and discussions.
That's right. Out of course. Who knew? It's 6 o'clock. You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook, broadcasting at 90.1 FM and 107.3 FM, as well as over the entire internet at WUSB.FM. It's 6 o'clock, and time to start an abbreviated edition of Off the Wall. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you, joined tonight by Kyle.
Yo.
Sorry for the confusion there. I don't know what was going on back at the station. Somebody turned up the wrong thing, and our whole intro was not going anywhere. But hopefully we stay on the air. That would be nice. We'll have to keep monitoring. We are on until 8:45. I'm sorry, 6:45. Not 8:45, 6:45. And then we have a basketball game.
Two can play this game. I mean, maybe that is going
to
happen.
What, we'll stay on to 8:45?
Yeah.
We have no power from here. We're remote. There. Literally, anybody can fiddle with a knob, and that's the end for us. But hopefully, we can stay on the air just for a little while. It's such a fleeting time, you know?
Thankfully, this is a strong community station, and yeah.
It is.
It's a community that makes sure everybody is on the air.
Yeah, and tonight we'd like to continue what we did last week, take some more phone calls, because we have our delay system here. We're all set and ready to go. Interesting things going on. If you've seen a drone, if you see a drone right now on Long Island or anywhere in the country, actually, you can call us. We have a special phone number, though, a special phone number. And you know what? Also call this number if for some reason we're not on the air. But obviously you can't hear us say that if we're not on the air. The number is 802-321-4225, area code 802. That's right, Vermont, which we are not in, 321-4225. There have been all kinds of reports of drones being spotted in the skies and all kinds of panic. There was a joint statement released today. From... DHS, FBI, FAA, DOD, they're all in on this together. I don't mean to sound like a conspiracy nut here. There are more than 1 million drones lawfully registered with the FAA in the United States, and there are thousands of commercial, hobbyist, and law enforcement drones lawfully in the sky on any given day. With the technology landscape evolving, we expect that number to increase over time. FBI has received tips of more than 5,000 reported drone sightings in the last few weeks, with approximately 100 leads generated. That's right, 100 leads out of 5,000 reported sightings. The federal government is supporting state and local officials in investigating these reports. Consistent with each of our unique missions and authorities, we are quickly working to prioritize and follow these leads. We have sent advanced detection technology to the region, and we have sent trained visual observers. Having closely examined the technical data and tips from concerned citizens, we assess that the sightings to date include a combination of lawful commercial drones, hobbyist drones, and law enforcement drones, as well as manned fixed-wing aircraft, helicopters, and, are you ready for this one, STARS, mistakenly reported as drones. STARS. Yeah, people are reporting STARS. There's no mention of satellites here because, you know, a satellite in the sky, especially if it's ISS, you know, the space station, that can be big and bright and move in a weird way and not make any noise whatsoever. So who knows how many times that's been reported. Continuing with the statement here, we have not identified anything anomalous and do not assess the activity to date to present a national security or public safety risk over the civilian airspace in New Jersey or other states in the Northeast. That said, we recognize the concern among many communities. They continue to support state and local authorities with advanced detection technology and support of law enforcement. We urge Congress to enact counter-UAS legislation when it reconvenes that would extend and expand existing counter-drone authorities to identify and mitigate any threat that may emerge. Additionally, there have been a limited number of visual sightings of drones over military facilities in New Jersey and elsewhere, including within restricted airspace. Such sightings near or over DOD installations are not new. DOD takes unauthorized access over its airspace seriously and coordinates closely with federal, state, and local law enforcement authorities as appropriate. Local commanders are actively engaged to ensure there are appropriate detection and mitigation measures in place. And there you have it. That's the statement from all the agencies. And, when you see this, everyone is crying foul, saying, they're not telling us something. And it's almost funny to watch on TV because invariably, first of all, most of this is on Fox. I don't know if you've realized that. Today I turned on the cable news networks, and CNN talking about the mass shooting yesterday at a school. MSNBC, same thing, next story, Ukraine, all kinds of things like that. Fox, wall-to-wall coverage of the drones and the Biden administration covering something up. And I just see this happening over and over and over again, where you're seeing these outraged Republicans, or quote-unquote independents who side with Republicans, claiming that either Hochul or Murphy or Shapiro, a Democratic governor, is hiding something, or it's the feds, meaning Joe Biden. It's never a Republican governor. And there are plenty of Republican governors, but none of them are ever accused of covering something up. Only the Democratic governors. I thought that was kind of weird. And this whole thing of, well, you can't trust what the FBI says, you can't trust what the Democrats do, you can't trust the federal government. Boy, that seems convenient, considering what we have, you know, poised at the doorstep, about to take over the whole place in a month. It's basically manipulating our minds to not trust the powers that are leaving. And, you know, let's see what happens in a month. Do you think this whole drone mystery, and I put that in double quotes, you think that's going to be resolved and explained, or will it just fade away? You know, I'm betting on the latter, because I see this as a whole operation to discredit a particular political party and a particular branch of government, agencies, all kinds of things, all the things that Trump has been saying. And I don't think people realize that they are being manipulated. Look, you look up in the sky. I did this the other day. I looked up in the sky. Kyle was driving. I annoyed him by pointing to something. And I said, that's a drone. And, you know, after I said that, I started looking at it and saying, you know, that could be a drone. It's moving in a weird way. It's taking forever to get here, you know, to pass overhead. And it's not making much noise. But, you know, it had those flashing lights. And it passed over, and then it was gone. And was it a drone? Was it a plane? I don't know. I just pointed to something and said, yeah, look at that. I think a lot of people are looking up in the sky who haven't looked up in the sky in a while and seeing all kinds of things up there. I know in Jersey, for instance, if you're standing anywhere near Newark Airport, you will see one bright light after another on approach to Newark Airport. And it's really something to see. As soon as one disappears, another shows up. There are all kinds of things up there in the sky, and that includes drones. Drones are up there. They have been up there, and there are all kinds of different ones. There are police drones. There are media drones. There are recreational drones. And there are movie-making drones. Now, Kyle, you know something about that, right? These are drones that are up there, big drones, and they're filming. They could be filming establishing shots of New Jersey. I'm not exactly sure why you'd want that. But they are up there, and they are doing all kinds of things. And maybe they've been up there for a while. Maybe it's something new. I don't know. But I just find it kind of weird that they're all using the FAA-mandated lighting scheme that you're supposed to use. Another thing people don't seem to realize is that there are apps where you can monitor these drones and see what they are, that they're supposed to identify themselves. So are the people who are reporting this, are the politicians who are screaming about this, are they using these apps? You know, or are they just saying, I saw this, and you can't tell me what it was? How do you expect somebody to tell you what you saw last night? You know, they have to be there with you, and they have to have the right equipment to be able to do that, or have the app. And I don't think most of these people really understand what the rules are or how the technology works.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'd just say, like, there's, you know, a lot of different types, like you said, and photography was, like, one of the first things people started doing with these kinds of quadricopters and stuff. Of course, as soon as you can fly around like that, maybe you'd want to, like, take a picture or go make a video flying around. And this is not lost on production scales. And so there's lots of that. But the other real – so there are really massive ones, maybe not as big as, like, a small vehicle, like a car, but perhaps, you know, that they can get incredibly big. They're over a certain weight class. You have to start having a little bit more, training and stuff. And a novel thing about, I mean, besides all the different types and sizes and difficulty of classifying them, especially at night, one of the things that may be making people notice it a little bit more is the occurrence of them at night. because there's some, as part of the new rules with the remote ID and all of that, people were allowed to fly under certain conditions over crowds and things, but also at night. And one of the stipulations in the rules for doing that is the suggestion of using strobes and using navigational lights. And as these are used commercially and with more regularity on routes and in all kinds of novel ways, they're going to have that kind of the red and green and, of course, strobes and all the kinds of things that help with navigation. And people seeing them more at night because they're allowed to fly more doesn't make it any easier to spot them. They're going to or identify what they're used for, and they're going to see maybe an increase in the prevalence, but it's probably harder at night because you have less information. Even if you did have tools like binoculars or something to be able to see it better, or a camera, it's still a little bit harder. But I think it's just it's become so murky, and I do like what you're pointing out. I mean, that is very interesting how it's a useful narrative to recharacterize some of the critiques that may have waned since the election, and they want to have more fodder to substantiate why the next administration is going to maybe do a better job, like you'd said. But I don't know that it's all related or that well orchestrated. I think there's a lot of opportunism, maybe. But I'm totally up into being wrong as well. You know, maybe it is something sort of massively orchestrated and as a psychological operation. But I mean, that's just it maybe works for some people, but it's just, I think, a confluence of things, you know. And there may be the thing hitting local news, and local news then amplifying where it has been seen in other parts of the country only creates sort of an echo chamber of everyone looking, and it becomes like a sort of self-perpetuating confirmation bias. Like, everybody's then looking for this thing, and then that's kind of why I think a lot of the reporting is erroneous, or just adding to the murkiness of it and making it a lot harder to discern something that's legitimately curious and novel, mm-hmm. versus somebody just documenting that they looked at the sky and saw something, because there's stuff, like you said, all the time.
There is, and we look up at the sky a lot.
I think our language, our literacy of it and our language of it needs mm-hmm. to improve, and I think that's really what's missing here.
Yeah, you know, I would love to go to, well, you know what, I would willingly go to New Jersey and look up at the sky with people who are seeing things. I came out wrong. Who are realistically seeing things in the sky, and we could have a little chat as to what that could be. We could use our apps to see if they're drones. We could use our flight navigation to see if those are scheduled airplanes. We could use our ears to see if they're helicopters. We could use astronomical charts to see if they're planets or stars or things that don't really move that fast in the sky.
You have to do really all of those things to be really to be actually certain.
But most of all, you know, what you hear, hold that up to scrutiny as well. When you hear somebody demanding answers and expressing outrage, hold them up to scrutiny as well and see if they might have another agenda. Because I found in many cases they do. And also in many cases, disappointingly, people are being manipulated. I see a lot of Democratic politicians joining the bandwagon because they don't want to be seen as being part of some cover-up, even though I kind of doubt there's a cover-up going on here. It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. I mean, if something is up there, you know, you say, yeah, this is, you can say it's a classified purpose, but we know what it is. And if you just say that, I saw something last night, well, how do you expect anybody to be able to tell you what it was when that's all the information you give? So if you see something, well, say something, but say something specific, you know. All the videos are very grainy, blurry, so there's not much you can go on there. If you get exact locations and times and things like that, and, you know, details.
Altitudes.
Mm-hmm. But how do you measure altitude of something?
It's so hard because it's in space. It's, you know, low altitude, but it is like the depth perception, the range finding ability, just with, you know, eyeballing it, is tricky at best. So I think it's good to be aware about. There's yet to be in those local news broadcasts, like, a criteria of things that would qualify it as something that people would want to call in. Just anything in the sky isn't really very granular as far as what people should be looking for that is anomalous. So that's, like, maybe there are certain attributes, or it looks like it's very low, or it is... doing things like its flight pattern is uncharacteristic. It's not like going in a line necessarily,
right,
or it's hovering for a long period. And like they've already kind of discerned that with like locations, but it's not like a set criteria. People are just saying like, oh, well, that looks weird to me and that looks weird to me. That's not really narrow enough, I think, for what people, if they're going to crowdsource it, ought to be looking for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, if you find yourself out there looking up at the sky and seeing things, you know, that are out there in the sky and being suspicious of them, ask yourself this question. When's the last time you did that? When's the last time you were outside looking up at the sky before this whole thing hit the fan? And if it's been a long, long time, well, maybe what you're seeing is what's been up there for a while. Maybe this isn't so unusual. Maybe this is the new way things are. I mean, do they have Amazon drones yet around here? Do they actually deliver packages?
I know that that's like a desirable capability, delivery services.
Uh-huh.
There's like big talk around getting their hulking delivery trucks off the roads and stuff.
All kinds of things that drones could be doing up in the sky that we should not be surprised at. Like I said, you know, the movie drones, filming all kinds of things. NYPD, I'm sure they have a ton of drones up there doing patrols and things like that. Who knows what kind of military drones are running missions as well. This has been kind of laid out for us for years now. We knew this was coming.
That's a really good point. I mean, aren't we kind of asleep at the wheel as far as sensing what is flying all around? Like, people should be more attuned to this, mm-hmm. not like, oh, gee whiz, wouldn't it be great to know what was going on?
Yeah, I think people just want to know what's up in the sky now, and they realize they don't know. They haven't been paying attention. So, okay, let's find out what's up there. You know, some of it is harder to figure out than others, especially, you know, smaller drones that don't have to announce their identity or don't even have lights. And it's like I mentioned before, it's weird that all these drones are using the exact kind of light that you're supposed to use if you're a drone. The other weird thing is that, you know, if you were doing something nefarious, right, if this was some kind of secret, would you expand as people are pointing it out to everybody? No, but that's exactly what's happening. It was just New Jersey. Then suddenly it was Pennsylvania, then New York. It's almost as if people were hearing the story, going outside, looking up, saying, I don't know what that is. I'm reporting it, you know, and, you know, politicians are saying, I got 1,000 reports of a drone. It could be 1,000 people reporting the same drone. So that's one drone or two drones or something. Let's all calm down, figure this out. It's not the end of the world. It's you know, the mysteries of the sky, which we love to talk about here. All right, something that's not so much of a mystery is what's coming in the next month. And that is a certain kind of hell for many people. You might have heard this report. At least two of the higher education institutions right here on Long Island have actually gone and advised their international students to return to the United States from their home countries before Inauguration Day, amid fears of a potential travel ban similar to the one issued the last time we went through this nonsense, Trump's first term. Now, Stony Brook is not one of those institutions, not yet anyway. Delphi University in Garden City has said it strongly recommends international students return to the United States no later than January 20th, which is the day Trump will be sworn in for a second term. And Adelphi's first day of classes is January 23rd. The recommendation, according to the executive director of the university's international services, it's made out of an abundance of caution, particularly given possible uncertainties related to travel policies or administrative changes in the new year that may affect reentry procedures. That's a really nice way to say, yeah, the fascism is really setting in. And New York Institute of Technology has a campus in Old Westbury. It's above Nassau County. They also recommend that their international students arrive before January 20th. My God, this is the kind of fear that we're already demonstrating a month before he even gets into power. But, you know, it doesn't stop there. I don't know if you've been noticing this, Kyle, but all these major companies are giving Trump money. You know, Amazon gave the Trump Inauguration Fund, whatever that is, $1 million. And a bunch of other companies have done the same thing. You know, they don't have to do this. I think Facebook did that as well. Today, the CEO of Netflix went down to Mar-a-Lago to bend the knee and kiss the ring. It's some kind of fear that's taking over everybody. Either that or they just want him to be in a good mood so they can manipulate him. I hope it's the latter, but I fear it's the former. I fear people are, and companies are really, really scared. Remember, Jeff Bezos in the Washington Post refusing to allow them to endorse Kamala Harris, you know, because he didn't want to piss off Donald Trump. And now he's already visited him since he won the election.
Yeah, and they really think that they can, like, pay him off. I don't know. I mean, he'll just take the money and still do whatever he wants, right?
Yeah, I get the feeling it's not paying him off.
Do they know who they're working with?
I get the feeling they're really scared. They're really scared of what is going to happen to them, and they feel they have a lot to lose because they have, you know, multi-billion-dollar companies or, you know, pretty much almost anybody is feeling anticipation. International students, you know, corporate executives, the media, and boy, that is something that we really have to be concerned about. For the press, heading into a second Trump administration, there's a balancing act between being prepared and being fearful. The return to power of Donald Trump, who has called journalists enemies and talked about retribution against those he feels have wronged him, has news executives nervous. This, according to the Associated Press, perceived threats and numerous lawsuits of every sort, efforts to unmask anonymous sources, physical danger and intimidation, attacks on public media and libel protections, day-to-day demonization. And it doesn't just affect, you know, the big players. It affects people, you know, basically from the top to the bottom. We have a letter that was sent out to all Pacifica stations. As you know, WUSB airs Pacifica programming. We just had Democracy Now. And one of the lines in this from the network manager of Pacifica is talking about, you know, what's going on, what to look forward to in January. I just want you to hear this one quote. Some stations, this was sent to over 100 stations, some stations have suggested that we remove them from our network map on our website. If you wish for us to do this, please let me know. They don't want to drop their affiliation. They just don't want to be identified or seen on a map. These are actual radio stations that are afraid of being affiliated with Pacifica publicly so that people can go down the list and target them. That is the sickness we are dealing with right now. And I don't think it's paranoia. I don't think it's an overreaction. I think it's based upon promises and threats that have been made. Now, you may have heard this story, too. ABC News, they're set to pay $15 million to settle a defamation lawsuit brought by Trump. $15 million! Now, that agreement was a significant concession by a major news organization and a rare victory for a media-bashing politician whose previous litigation efforts against news outlets have often ended in defeat. Under the terms of a settlement revealed this past Saturday, ABC News will donate the $15 million to Trump's future presidential foundation and museum. It's straight out of a second-rate TV show. You know, bow down to the dictator. The network and its star anchor, George Stephanopoulos, also were forced to publish a statement saying they regret remarks made about Mr. Trump during a televised interview back in March. Now, ABC News is also going to pay Trump an additional $1 million for his legal fees. Now, this all is based upon an interview that aired back in March with Representative Nancy Mace, who was a Republican of South Carolina. And she's spoken publicly about being raped as a teenager, why she had continued to support Trump after he was found liable for rape in a 2023 civil case in Manhattan. That was the question that George Stephanopoulos asked her. Now, in the case in question, Trump was found liable for sexually abusing and defaming the writer E. Jean Carroll, but it did not find him liable for rape. Still, the judge who oversaw the proceeding later clarified that because of New York's narrow legal definition of rape, the jury's verdict did not mean that Ms. Carroll had failed to prove that Mr. Trump raped her, as many people commonly understand the word rape. I want to read you the court transcript here. The memorandum opinion denying Trump's Rule 59 motion. As is shown in the following notes, the definition of rape in the New York penal law is far narrower than the meaning of rape in common modern parlance. Its definition in some dictionaries, in some federal and state criminal statutes, and elsewhere. The finding that Ms. Carroll failed to prove that she was raped within the meaning of the New York penal law does not mean that she failed to prove that Mr. Trump raped her, as many people commonly understand the word rape. I'll say that again. It does not mean she failed to prove that Mr. Trump raped her, as many people commonly understand the word rape. Indeed, as the evidence at trial recounted below makes clear, the jury found that Mr. Trump, in fact, did exactly that. So saying he is a rapist is not inaccurate. Saying he was held liable for rape is in no way inaccurate. But if you do that, he will come after you. He will come after ABC News and scare the crap out of them so that they have to give him $16 million. Now, I'm just reading a court transcript here. You know, I'm quoting the judge. Now, I'm going to continue here, too. This is the judge saying this. So why does this matter? It matters because Mr. Trump now contends that the jury's $2 million compensatory damages award for Ms. Carroll's sexual assault claim was excessive because the jury concluded that he had not raped Ms. Carroll. Its verdict, he says, could have been based upon no more than groping of Ms. Carroll's breasts through clothing or similar conduct, which is a far cry from rape. That's Trump's quote. And while Mr. Trump is right that a $2 million reward for such groping alone could well be regarded as excessive, that undermines rather than supports his argument. His argument is entirely unpersuasive. This jury did not award Ms. Carroll more than $2 million for groping her breasts through her clothing, wrongful as that might have been. There was no evidence at all of such behavior. Instead, the proof convincingly established and the jury implicitly found that Mr. Trump deliberately and forcibly penetrated Ms. Carroll's vagina with his fingers, causing immediate pain and long-lasting emotional and psychological harm. Mr. Trump's argument, therefore, ignores the bulk of the evidence at trial, misinterprets the jury's verdict, and mistakenly focuses on the New York penal law definition of rape to the exclusion of the meaning of that word as it often is used in everyday life and of the evidence of what actually occurred between Ms. Carroll and Mr. Trump. There is no basis for disturbing the jury's sexual assault damages, and Mr. Trump's arguments with respect to the defamation damages are no stronger. In those words, as part of the memorandum written by District Judge Lewis A. Kaplan. And if that name sounds familiar, it's because that was my judge. That was the judge that ruled against me in the ECSS case back in 2000. I don't know why I feel proud about that, but he got that one wrong, he got this one right. If you say that Trump was liable for rape. You are not wrong. And it's sad to see ABC News cave like this. And when you cave, it opens up the door for all kinds of other abuses. Today, Trump sued the Des Moines Register for running a poll before the election that showed him trailing Vice President Kamala Harris, escalating his threats to seek retribution against the mainstream media and his political enemies. Yeah, a newspaper prints a poll that doesn't go his way, and he sues the newspaper. And regardless of whether or not they win, they have to spend a ton of money on legal fees, and they have to worry, and their reporters have to worry. This is real. This is happening. This is what we have been warning you about. And he hasn't even taken office yet, and it's already beginning. And it's going to get worse. It's going to get far, far worse. And we have to decide right now, are we going to cower in fear? Or are we going to fight like hell? Whole thing is really, really eye-opening. And, you know, every time there is some kind of a tense standoff, whether it's, you know, inside an office or outside on the streets, you see where people really come from. You see that not everybody does the courageous thing. I can't say I blame them. You know, you never really know how you're going to react until something hits the fan. But it is a bit dismaying to see how quickly these institutions are collapsing, are bending over backwards to get out of the crosshairs. And if it's this bad before 2025 even begins, wow, where are we going to be in a few months, in a couple of years? Well, unfortunately, we have an abbreviated show tonight, so we only have a couple of minutes to wrap this whole thing up. But there's a lot of evil in the world, a lot of things going on. You know, we're seeing in our country Viktor Orban tactics, Vladimir Putin tactics. You have to wonder what's going to happen in the rest of the world, in Ukraine. What's going to happen to the Palestinians? What's going to happen to the Syrians? You know, this horrible Netanyahu person is basically occupying parts of Syria now. Syria has this incredible revolution. You might even call it a velvet revolution, where rebels sweep into power. There's no purge. There's no slaughter. Just a lot of happy dancing people. And we'll get to the trials later. We'll get to justice. But right now, they drove Assad out into Moscow, and we'll see how long that lasts. But this is a joyous occasion. This is something we should all be celebrating. And, you know, not interfering at all, letting the people decide how their country is going to go. But what does Netanyahu do? Doesn't reach out with an olive branch or anything like that. He decides to go in and occupy and intimidate. Now, I had no problem with blowing up military installations that could be used for chemical weapons and all kinds of other things, and I don't think the people in Syria had much of a problem with that either. But you're going to take their land now? You're going to occupy them? Do you realize how evil that makes you look? I mean, honestly, when is Netanyahu going to get toppled already? Because, boy, you know, every day Israel is moving further into negative territory. And this just is not going to fly for much longer. So, to be continued, I guess. I guess we didn't get any phone calls, did we, Carl? But we didn't really have much time.
No. There are no phone calls right now.
Well, don't call because there's no time and we're out of time. But you can write, and you know, we don't even know if we're really on the air. I hope we're on the air. OTW at 2600.com is our email address. We will be back next week with another full hour. And, of course, we have Off the Hook tomorrow night. We'll be talking about drones some more, and we'll have a New York City audience there. Yeah, stay tuned for basketball. I believe Marist is visiting us here at Stony Brook, and hopefully we take some mercy on them. It's a long bus ride back upstate. We will see you next time. Oh, yeah, there was I mentioned a mass shooting, a school shooting. A female student, that doesn't happen very often. And, in fact, the last time I remember that happening was back in the 1970s, way before Columbine. And it was also on a Monday. So, of course, I have to play this song. And I haven't seen anybody else make the connection, but I'm sure somebody will. Boomtown Rats, I Don't Like Mondays, the sole reason that teenage shooter gave back in the 70s. On that, cheering up. Have a good night. See you next week.
And he can see no reason, cause there are no reason. What reason do you need to be sure? Whoa, 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 whoa. Tell me why I don't like Mondays. Tell me why I don't like Mondays. Tell me why I don't like Mondays. I wanna shoot. Ooh. The whole day down. Father's world is rocked, and their thoughts turn to their own little girl. Sweet 16 ain't that peachy keen. Now it ain't so neat to admit defeat. They can see no reasons, cause there are no reasons. What reasons do you need? No reason, cause there are no reasons why we